We bring the newsmakers to you here on the KUMA Coffee Hour, presented by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guest this morning is Pendleton Parks and Recreation Director Liam Hughes. We got a lot to talk about this morning. The conversation begins after this.
Hello, rodeo fans!
Join us on Saturday, September 7th to kick off the 114th world-famous Pendleton Roundup for a don't-want-to-miss kickoff concert featuring country music icon Clay Walker and special guest Eddie Montgomery of Montgomery Gentry. Pendleton Roundup. Let her buck!
Talk to me, baby. Tell me what.
Nighty hitmaker Clay Walker and Grammy-winning artist Eddie Montgomery will perform Under the Stars in the world-famous Happy Canyon Arena. Tickets are on sale now at PendletonRoundup.com. Clay Walker and special guest Eddie Montgomery of Montgomery Gentry. Pendleton Roundup in the famous Happy Canyon Arena. You won't want to miss it. Get your tickets now at PendletonRoundup.com. Let her buck and
on with the show.
Presented by Vegetation Solutions.
Live and local, it's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA. Presented by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on this Friday. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour. Dan Tespin, your host, and joining me this morning is Liam Hughes. He is Pendleton Parks and Recreation Director. Liam, welcome back to the program.
Thank you and good morning.
Well, good morning. And, you know, summer is here. School is out. I imagine it's a really busy time for Parks and Rec. And I wanted to talk about the pool and especially swimming. And the Parks and Rec department does offer swimming lessons.
We do. It's been a huge point of emphasis for us over the last few years here to really try to push swimming lessons and to get people to teach their kids how to swim. It really is one of those things that can save a life someday, and it's a great skill to have. It unlocks a whole bunch of fun stuff you can go do once you know how to swim. We have an excellent swimming lesson program. We have a bunch of really great instructors, and it's a lot of fun. The kids really enjoy it.
And, you know, we were talking before the program, and we're going to get into this morning, a little bit deeper conversation just about swimming and swimming safety. There was this incident not too far away at Pasco's Memorial Pool with a near drowning, and just the importance of, you know, the pool, while it may be open, it has lifeguards and so on, there is a safety element to using a public pool, is there not?
Absolutely, and it's one of the things we can't really stress enough. You can't breathe underwater. It's an unnatural environment for humans. We're able to train ourselves to be able to swim and to be safe in the pool, but we're not born with that ability to swim. We have to learn it, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of training, a lot of practice to become a good swimmer and not just be able to do a couple of strokes to get to the poolside. Really, it's important to learn how to swim and swim well. Yeah, it's super important.
And when using a public pool, I imagine, you know, you shouldn't take anything for granted, especially when the water element is involved. And we were talking before this program began about, you know, just that element of some parents and guardians, you know, using the pool and expecting the lifeguard, while that title, that responsibility in and of itself has a lot of responsibility, but the lifeguard is not a babysitter.
No, absolutely. And that's one of the things that we have to try to remind people, that the lifeguards are a first responder. They're a last line of defense. Really, lifeguards should be going into the water only when it's a case of sort of that unavoidable emergency, when someone slips and hits their head and falls into the water unconscious, or someone has a heart attack and needs to be pulled out and resuscitated. But that's less than 1% or the 0.01% of all the saves we see at the pool. Our lifeguards go in over and over again to assist people who can't swim. And that's one of the things that's a real challenge, because that's 100% avoidable, right? If someone can't swim, they should be either in direct contact with a parent or within arm's reach or in a life jacket. There's lots of things that you can do to make the pool safe for a non-swimmer, but just turning a non-swimmer loose and relying on the lifeguards to jump in and grab them is not a good plan.
And I wanted to just ask, I shouldn't have to ask the Parks and Rec director, but the etiquette and I guess proper use of a public pool, I mean, the parent and guardian technically should stay with the child when you're using the pool?
Yeah, so we don't allow kids under 11 to use the pool alone, but just because, so in the case of this Pasco incident, I don't have the details on the incident other than what was reported in the newspaper, but it was a teenager. It wasn't a young child, and so it wasn't an age supervision issue. It appears to be a swimming issue. It appears that this person couldn't swim very well, and that's one thing that I think a lot of people forget, is that just the bare minimum isn't really what we should be aiming for. So at the Pendleton pool, and I don't know how they do things in Pasco, I can only talk to our stuff, but so for example, if you're going to go in the dive pool and it's a little questionable whether you should be there or not, we administer a swimming test, and the lifeguards can do that, and it's just a 25-yard swim to prove that you can get from one side to the other, basically. And I was there at the pool the other day, and I watched a parent request the lifeguard give the swim test. And while the test is to just complete the 25 yards, this child was clearly struggling. And they barely had their mouth out of the water, and they were using all arm technique to swim. And they made it. And you could tell the parent was, oh, okay, now we're going to move on to the dive pool. And for me personally, if that was my kid, there would be no way I would be allowing them in the dive pool without me, because to my mind, they were a non-swimmer. If you are relying on, you know, just keeping your, for a start, if you're holding your mouth out of the water, you haven't learned to swim, right? That's a piece of swimming, is learning how to turn your head and breathe and swim with your face in the water. And then on top of that, the kid barely made the swim. So now the challenge is, you go off the dive board 10 times and you're getting tired and you're relying on your arm strength to keep your head out of the water. Well, now that is not possible. And it sounds like that may have been what happened in this Pasco incident, that the person could swim to a bare minimum. And the initial reports come out to say that the lifeguard saw the person fall into distress. But by the time they reached him, they had already gone under the water. And those type of situations are 100% avoidable by learning how to swim, right? A good swimmer can keep themselves afloat by, you know, even just flipping on their back and floating. It's very early on in swimming lessons, learning how to just stay alive in the water. And then, you know, looking good and having clean technique is really, you know, a next level. And that's important too. I mean, there's, aside from the pool, if you can swim, you know, the length of the pool, you should not come into problems in the pool. But we here in Oregon, we have a lot of wild water, and there's a lot of big expanses of water, there's a lot of fast flowing water, and being able to swim really well is a really key survival tool here in Oregon. And then making smart choices, right? So obviously, again, life jackets. If you're in a situation where you're not a great swimmer, you should have a life jacket on, and not just when you plan on going swimming. We heard of some tragic incidents. You know, there was one that I remember from, I think it was a couple of years ago, where a father and son drowned while they were fishing. And they obviously didn't plan. I think the son fell in, and I remember correctly, the dad jumped in to try to save the son, and they both ended up drowning. And obviously, they weren't planning on swimming, but they knew they were going near water. They obviously knew they couldn't swim. So that's when really wearing a life jacket is critical, because that can save your life. And even, you know, if you're fishing, it's not a huge inconvenience to have a life jacket on. Just like at the pool, if you have a young child and you think they're just going to be staying in the shallow water, well, it's not really an inconvenience to put a life jacket on them, because you might turn your back and they go take a dead sprint. And I watched this happen one year, that the lifeguards were right on it. And we have fantastic lifeguards at the pool, I will say. They train constantly, but I watched a little toddler, the parents were talking with another adult, and the toddler just turned and went straight for the water, and the lifeguards got him almost as soon as they went in. They saw it coming, and the parents were just like, oh, what happened? And then, you know, the lifeguards handing him back their child, which is that those are the type of incidents that you just don't see coming. You're not planning on your kid running off, but if you're right around the pool, why not have that life jacket on? Why not have that extra layer of safety and that extra layer of confidence that you know that that child, if they're eating their ice cream and they decide to run off to the water, then they're protected.
Now, for the child who may not have the confidence, as you just mentioned, or is not a, I guess, great swimmer, the swimming lessons will obviously help. But what other advice do you have for parents or guardians to, I guess, increase the safety aspect and the comfort level of that child being around water, especially in a pool?
Oh, my best advice would be to spend some time and actually swim. You know, one of the things when I was a kid, I feel, looking back, I was very blessed that my parents spent time with me and helped me learn to swim and things like that. And that's something I've carried with me the rest of my life. But when we would go on vacation and we'd go to a pool, it was, you know, the first 20 minutes or so might be swimming. And my parents would make me swim and show them my strokes and how I could do the technique and whatnot. And then I was allowed to go play and go down the water slides and do things like that. But it would be great to see a little more of that, of folks, you know, really trying to learn to swim and swim well, because it can save your life. And I know for a fact I probably wouldn't be here if I couldn't swim really well. Me and my dad got into an issue on a beach where we got sucked out in a riptide when I was about 10 or 11. And it was a scary time. And again, I couldn't imagine being able to get through that if I hadn't been in swimming lessons since I was a very young kid.
All right, good to know and good advice. And we're going to take a break. Come back with more after this.
Traditions Dining at Wild Horse Resort and Casino is offering chef experiences every Thursday through Saturday night. Every Friday and Saturday, feast on juicy carved prime rib. Your meal begins with a fresh, crisp salad, followed with savory prime rib, loaded baked potato, seasonal vegetable, hot rolls, and a delightful dessert. Enjoy by yourself or bring the family. For pricing and more information, go to wildhorseresort.com. Tonight, it's prime rib for dinner at Traditions Dining inside Wild Horse Resort and Casino, Pendleton.
If you're having a hard time fixing something, or you're stuck on what to do next, or maybe you aren't sure what you need to do to get started, take a picture and head down to Zimmerman & Company True Value to get some assistance.
We always recommend take several pictures of your project. Bring that in so that we can take a look at your pictures, because a picture goes a long ways, and then most of the time we can figure out what the problem is and how to fix it.
Zimmerman & Company True Value, open 7 days a week on Main Street in downtown Pendleton.
Did you know the City of Pendleton Transportation Program offers two deviated fixed bus routes, demand response services with daily van and taxi tickets, and transportation options for students at Pendleton High School and BMCC? To learn more about these transit programs, schedules, maps, phone apps, and riders' rights and responsibilities, go to the City of Pendleton website and click on the Departments tab to find the link for the transit page. Also, check them out on Facebook at Pendleton Transit.
Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour, presented by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Liam Hughes, Pendleton Parks and Recreation Director. And Liam, we were talking about swimming lessons and pool safety in the last segment, but you also have a new pool pass structure.
Yeah, so this year we've had a lot of questions about it. So this year we have a flat. I'll back up a little bit. So when I started here, we had what we called a family pass. So you had individual passes, and then we had a family pass, which was for a family of up to five. And it was sort of a set fee, and you could have up to five people on that pass. So the challenge with that was people would say, "Well, okay, I'm a single mom with one or two kids. I don't get a good deal. You know, I get to pay." Basically three times the single person rate, and there's no benefit for a family pass if I only have me and my one child. So it was really not doing good for some of the folks that often have the biggest financial hardships, like single parents. So after that, we tried to evolve into a structure where we had a head of household price. So it was like $100 for the head of household, and then $30 for each additional person that we added on. But unfortunately, a lot of people were confused by that. It seemed like they thought it was like $100 for every adult in the house, and then $30 for every kid, and that wasn't what it was supposed to be. So we ended up saying, okay, well, let's just really simplify it. Let's just have a pass price, and it doesn't matter, individual, family, whatever. We're going to have a season pass, and we're going to have a daily drop-in fee, and we're going to keep it simple, and that way it's fair whether you have a single parent household or you have a household of 12. It's the same for everybody, and we think that's going to be a great way to do it, and we'll reevaluate after the season and see what our feedback is. But Yeah, it seems to be going well, and it does add simplicity. Everyone knows what they're going to pay.
And I was going to ask you, days and hours of operation for the Pendleton Pool.
So at noon to 8, 7 days a week. It's occasional that we'll close. We do have like a swim meet, you know, once a year and stuff like that. So there's very rare occasions when the pool is not open. But we try to sign that, you know, at least a week ahead of time and let people have plenty of heads up. Also, obviously, if there's thunder and lightning, we close, and that we can't predict that. Sometimes it just happens, and yeah.
Well, there's lots of other things happening, not just at the pool. Let's talk about Summer Adventure Camp.
Yeah, the Summer Adventure Camp's always a fun one. It's one that we've done for a lot of years with Pendleton Park and Rec. The staff down there do a great job of having the kids be safe and have fun. It's a great kind of way if you need summer childcare or if you just want somewhere for your kid to go. We do talk to a number of parents who are like, well, I'm able to stay home during the summer, but my kid wants to go and have fun with their friends. And yeah, we welcome those folks too. You don't have to be in it just because you need childcare.
And then the British Basketball Camp returns this summer.
Yeah, this is always an exciting one for me. The story is that's my old coach from when I was a kid in England who has flown out for years and years now, whatever town I'm working in, and he'll run basketball camps for us. He is a very successful basketball coach. He's possibly Britain's top youth basketball coach. He has multiple national titles. He's coached a ton of players that have gone on to play various levels of college out here, D1, D2, NAIA. And just a fantastic coach. He has kind of a few of the things that he does, I think, better than most people. And one of the things, when you teach basketball, there's a general consensus of what a jump shot looks like and what dribbling looks like. And every coach tries to put a little tiny, you know, their little tiny thing on it. But really, there's no great difference. But the thing with Steve is he really does a great job of inspiring kids to want to be better. So kids that you tell, when I was back in England, you could tell the kids that played for Steve because they'd be the ones out in the street shooting hoops at their house, because somehow he inspires those kids to go home and practice and want to become great basketball players. And how he's done it all these years, I don't quite know. There, you know, we were from a small town, and to keep churning out college level basketball players out of fairly small communities in England, where it's not a basketball country, it's a soccer country, you know, and he did time and time again, and he's got some sort of secret sauce there in what he does. He also focuses on high repetition drills. I mean, that's one of the other things that I think gets lost with a lot of what we see nowadays with travel basketball and things like that, is that people get obsessed with putting in plays to win games in the short term, whereas Steve and his philosophy is really developing players. And if you teach a kid to play, you can't scout that. You know, talent ends up winning in the end. And it's about thousands of repetitions. So he starts every practice, or at least used to, and I bet it hasn't changed any since I was a kid. You know, we would dribble the basketball, and you would do dribbling drills, and you would dribble the basketball hundreds of times, you know, before we start practice. Then you go into layup drills and footwork drills. And you spend about at least the first 45 minutes of practice just doing high repetition drills that build your skill as a player. There's no way to cheat it. You know, the great coach John Wooden said there's 8 laws of learning, and that's explanation, demonstration, imitation, repetition, 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 and repetition. And that's what it is. And I see time and time again coaches over the years skipping the repetition part. You know, they tell kids what they're supposed to do and then put them in the game to do it, and you can't expect that to work. You have to drill it in. It has to become muscle memory, and once it is, it's really fun to watch. And I was blown away last time he was here. I forgot kind of some of the things he has. He brings players with him, and they're not always, you know, top class players. You know, they're kids in his program. They're just, you know, kids like we have here. But there's a few times where you'll just see like a glimpse of something and you're like, oh yeah, that's so signature of the way he teaches the game. Like you see kids using the left hand for a pass or something like that because he teaches both hands. You'll see kids catching the ball on a fast break over their shoulder because which is a tough catch, right? That's a tough one to teach kids initially, but because he does so many repetitions that they're picking these things up really well.
Now, the British Basketball Camp returns in August, and we're going to talk about a couple of other things that you're doing this summer as well. But for more information about all the things we're talking and then some, where can people go to learn more or to register their child?
Yeah, so our website's a great source of all the information when I have a question, because I don't work in the programs too much anymore. I'm mostly in the back office trying to figure out how to pay for everything. And I hop right on the website when someone asks me a question, and the information's almost all right there. The other thing is, we have moved our registration office for all of our recreation programs. We've now separated, so cemetery business and parks reservations is done out of the cemetery office. All of the kids' programs and anything to do with programs like swimming lessons or whatever, you can sign up at the Recreation Center, which is down there by City Hall. They're open 10 to 5. They've got a great staff down there that'd be happy to assist you.
And then let's talk about the after school program.
Yeah, so and start, you know, if people need after school care next year, start thinking about if you want to be in the after school program. That's a program we started a few years ago. We have a grant for this year and next year that's been supporting the program. Obviously, it's tough to pay the bills with trying to keep it affordable to the kids. So we have a grant through the State of Oregon Youth Development Division that's helping us pay the bills, which is super appreciated. And we've been able to offer a higher level program since getting that grant. And we hope to keep it going. And that's one of our great challenges. I spend a lot of the time working with our staff on where to find the money for the next thing we want to do. And we spend a lot of time writing grants and looking to try to see where we can fund things.
All right. We're going to take another quick break, then come back, wrap things up this morning after this.
At Mackay Creek Estates, they know that the best food comes from the heart. Their dining program, A Taste of Prestige, is crafted by their talented culinary teams and tailored to the nutritional needs of older adults. They use fresh ingredients and local flavors to prepare healthy, mouthwatering meals their residents love. It's one more way they help older adults celebrate life at every age. For more about dining at Prestige Senior Living, visit tasteofprestige.com. Again, that's tasteofprestige.com.
What destination is on your bucket list? The Walla Walla Regional Airport can get you there with 101 one-stop destinations through Seattle. Is salmon fishing in Alaska reeling you in? Or experiencing a professional rodeo at the Calgary Stampede? Check out your bucket list destinations on alaskaair.com and be sure to enter ALW to start your trip from your home airport, where you always have free parking. Book your tickets today and fly Walla Walla.
Public Works for the City of Pendleton could complete 6 projects in this construction season. These projects include storm drainage system upgrades on Northwest 7th and Northwest 12th, as well as water main replacements on portions of South Main Street and Northwest Despay. Street projects will focus on slurry sealing asphalt and the reconstruction of 7 blocks of Northwest Despay. Scheduling for these projects will depend on time, budget, and staffing levels. Go to pendletonprojects.com for more information.
News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA. Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour, presented by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon.
My guest this morning is Pendleton Parks and Recreation Director Liam Hughes. And Liam, before you go today, I wanted to ask you about the Wild West Beer Fest under new management.
Yeah, so we started the Wild West Beer Fest as a fundraiser for our low-income scholarship program. You know, families that don't have a ton of money can apply through Park and Rec to have part of their fees covered out of that scholarship program. And so we're always looking for fundraisers and ways to raise money for that program. So we started the Wild West Beer Fest, but it turned out it was becoming challenging for us to run and make it, you know, using staff time to run it, and then it wasn't making enough money for us as a fundraiser for it to continue to be viable. So we decided we weren't going to run it. The City Club approached us and said, who are a nonprofit group in town, if you're not familiar with them, they do a lot of great work funding for youth sports and other youth activities quietly in the background. They don't seek a lot of recognition. And they approached us and said, can we take over the event? We said, absolutely. We'll give you all of our information, everything we've ever done, and hand you the reins. And if your mission is so closely aligned with ours, that's perfect. And so I was able to show up this year just as a volunteer and help them do it. And their club did a great job. The management crew that ran it did fantastic. And it was an awesome event. And hopefully they raised some money for the kids of the community.
And let's talk about just parks in general this summer. I know that they get widely used. You got the Till Taylor, you drive by there, those kids enjoying the splash pad and all the water features over there. What else should park goers know about Pendleton Parks this time of year?
The crew's working really hard trying to keep them up. We do have some bathroom issues right now. So some people have noticed one of the doors is missing at Till Taylor. We've been having some vandalism of locks. People try to break into the bathrooms at night when they're locked. And that's whatever they're doing is damaging the locks. So we had a situation where someone went inside, locked the door, and then couldn't get back out again. So the fire department had to rip the lock clean off the door. And so we're trying to replace that door and get another lock ordered. And then we have a couple other bathrooms in town where we've had to close because, again, the locks were vandalized, and we're trying to work on getting those back up and running. But it's challenging. It seems like, you know, while the rest of us are sleeping, folks are out vandalizing stuff. And so we get there in the morning, and then unfortunately there's some of that stuff. You know, we don't have spare bathroom doors just sitting around the shop. You know, you have to go special order them, and you can't go just pick them up in town. Usually you have to kind of wait for them to be shipped in. So yeah, it's a little challenging, but I think all in all, the parks are looking great. The crew's doing a really good job with their mowing and keeping up on stuff. And yeah, we're busy.
Well, and also it takes a lot of people to maintain and keep up the parks and the pool and all the different things that your department is involved in. You still looking for summer help?
Yeah, we've got a few positions posted still. We're mostly there. Our staff swells to a little over 100 individuals this time of year, which is kind of wild. And yeah, we've been doing really well. We've getting positions filled. It's been really tough on a few of them, but check out the city website. There's a number of jobs posted, not just for our department, but for other city departments. There's a few vacancies out there, both full and part-time.
All right. Again, we covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time, from swimming lessons. Of course, there's the new pool pass structure that Liam talked about, the summer adventure camp, the summer basketball camp, the after-school program, and, of course, just the pool in general, getting down to enjoy and cool off and have fun with friends and family this summer. If you have any questions, be sure to reach Pendleton Parks and Recreation either over the phone or check them out on their Facebook page or their website. Liam Hughes, Pendleton Parks and Recreation Director, my guest this morning. Liam, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I just want to encourage everybody to get out and enjoy the outdoors. And also, Liam mentioned the vandalism. You know, see something, say something also applies to park goers. Keep those parks nice and clean and vandalism free. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. I'll be back on Monday.
For local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.